TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Warning. The Outsider's Edge contains strong opinions, unconventional views, and contrarian stances. Listen, if you dare.
Hey, yo.
Ain't nobody really the gorilla. Ain't nobody really the gorilla. I said, ain't nobody really the gorilla. Ain't nobody really the gorilla.
As we are brought in by the fire tones of the Tonkins and of In Living Color. Living Color?
In Living Color, yeah. I mean, who cares? Because, like, I hate that song. Love the Wrestler. Hate that song.
Anyway, you listen to another episode of The Outsider's Edge. It's your boy, Rance, a.k.a. Ray Cash. You hear the music. You know why we're here. Before we get started, let me introduce my brethren and apparently the nickname sticks, y'all. The sage of the square circle. I got Mr. Kyle Morris here with me. What's happening, brother?
Oh, you know, my brother, just ready to read these tea leaves to the people. Ready to read the tea leaves to the people.
Well, you heard the music. The apparently the culture has been and will be changed. Yo, I was watching live.
The more things change, though, you know, just to lead into it, the more things change, the more they stay the same for this fucking reason. What do we always tell them, Rance, when people leave? No matter why they leave, no matter how mad they are when they leave, no matter what they say when they leave, what do we always tell them, Rance?
Everybody comes back.
Because Big Daddy Vince got a fat-ass checkbook.
Money, 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 money. Why do you think Vince, why you think money, Shane's money, song money, is money?
Money. Universal money.
Kyle, look. I was laying down in my bed Tuesday night, watching backstage as I do every week. And it's the end of the show, and I figured they were going to just bullshit the last 5 minutes. Sometimes they do the little Twitter promos where they find people on Twitter that talk shit about them and say shit about them. And, you know, I'm not paying much attention because it's the end of the show. I'm about to go to bed. And I hear Renee Young say, oh, yeah, we do surprises here. Here's a surprise. And I hear the same thing you, the listeners, just heard. Ch-ch-ch. And I said, nah, they're bullshitting. And even Booker said, no, I'm sorry, even Paige said, man, you is this a rib? And then the motherfucker comes out. So, ladies and gentlemen, what we've been alluding to, Phillip Jack Brooks, better known as MMA fighter. Better known as failed MMA fighter, Phillip Jack Brooks. But you know him better as one Cookie Monster, Charles Montgomery, but Chicago made, Chick Magnet, CM Punk. Has
he
returned.
He likes Pepsi.
He's a Pepsi man. Now, because I know there were those people on Twitter, but actually, so let's be actual. CM Punk is not signed to this WWE. He has not re-signed. I doubt he's even had a meeting or a conversation with Vince or Triple H. CM Punk is signed by the Fox Network to be a contributor, a special contributor, as what they said in the press release, to the WWE Backstage show.
Which means let's repeat that for those of you that, you know, don't like to listen the first time. He is signed to Fox to be on WWE.
Yes. Yes, that break it down for him, brother. Yes. So, and also, you would be stupid to believe that WWE didn't sign off on this deal, because while this is Fox's show, these are WWE stars and content. So this is the first step. And you know what I like the most about this situation? We're going to break it down, like break it down, like DX in 97, break it down. But this shows me that they played the long game, because we were all told or led to believe that Fox didn't want him. He had a good audition, but Fox didn't want him. Well, that was a motherfucking lie. The lie detector came back, and that was a lie. They played us. So bravo, Fox, because you got me and apparently everybody else, because CM Punk was the number one trend that night. And right after that was WWE Backstage. So they did their job.
Mm-hmm. You know, and it also tells me that whatever Matt and Nick Jackson said to CM Punk, it wasn't enough.
Okay, so no, I'm
whatever gonna say. They said to him, because I'm not talking business meeting, because they ain't even get that far. Whatever they said to him in their informal talk, it wasn't enough. He was not impressed, and so he walked away.
Let's break it down from all the different vantage points, shall we? Okay, first vantage point, number one. For CM Punk to be willing to come back to the WWE tells me, just rants, just Ray Cash, just dumbass rants in Houston, tells me that he's realized over these 5 years that I'd rather go with the devil I know than the devil I don't. It tells me that he realizes that WWE was and probably is still his home. And it tells me that, most importantly, the shit that he believed and felt 5-6 years ago wasn't as relevant or as important as he thought he was. You take away the personal issue with him and Chris Amon, that's put that to the side, because they had that taken care of 18 months ago. They had their lawsuit, right? And he believes that WWE bankrolled the lawsuit. So very clearly, if he believes that, and he believes that they on purpose sent him his walking papers, his pink slip, on his wedding day, and he decided to come back. Understand that word, ladies and gentlemen, and those of you who are not gendered. He chose to audition for this show. So whenever you audition for something, that means you have to want it.
And in a lot of cases, it means you wanted it badly enough that you got your agent to make moves.
Yeah, he lives in Chicago. I think we know that. Mostly people know he's a Chicago guy, right? Am I stupid for thinking that?
I mean, if you don't know that CM Punk is a Chicago guy, I question a lot of things about you.
WWE Backstage is filmed in L.A. So he had to make that flight. Multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
You know who loses? Speaking of the Amon lawsuit and everything about that, you know who I still feel bad for in this situation? And who's still the best person in the entire situation?
Colt
Cabana. Colt motherfucking Cabana is a saint, y'all. And we all need to just, like, say thank you to Colt Cabana, number one. Say you are a better person than me, number two. And ask somebody to cut this man a check. Cut him a fat-ass check.
He ain't getting fat checks, but he getting Billy Corgan checks. And Smashing Pumpkins did, like, 80 million records. So, something, right?
I mean, you're right.
Speaking of Colt Cabana, this is another one of the vantage points. This is a blurb that should be this big, but it's really this. I'm sorry, you guys can't see me. Should be the size of a mustard seed. I'm getting biblical with you motherfuckers now. But it's like the size of like an ocean, right? CM Punk knowingly and admittedly has ended friendships with people he's been friends with for decades, because they were still involved with WWE. Not just Colt Cabana, Hornswoggle, Corey Graves, multiple people he's ended friendships with. And he go back. That's hilarious to me. Maybe I like dark humor, bro. Maybe that's just me. I like dark humor.
I like to imagine, you know, speaking of specifically Graves, I don't even like Graves. I think Graves is an asshole. But like,
he thinks he's an asshole for the record. So
speaking of Graves, I would just love to be a fly on the wall the first time the two of them had to like interact together under this new agreement, because like Punk said some deeply personal and offensive things to Corey Graves, and Corey Graves said some deeply personal and offensive things right the fuck back
in public.
In public, there are receipts.
Yeah,
because that motherfucker don't delete his tweets, which I respect, but like he's still a douche. He's not like that tag team I don't talk about level douche,
no,
or like MAGA Orton level douche, but he is kind of a douche.
And he admits he's a douche. I appreciate people like that. If you know you're a piece of shit, at least admit it. But I want to go to another vantage point, if I may.
All right, Trace.
This is the one you alluded to, the AEW side of this. Okay, this is what we know. Cody sent him a text talking about, hey, man, if you want to come join, you can join. This was not just admitted by Punk, but admitted by Cody. He's had informal talks quite a few times with the Jacksons. He's good friends with Matt. We know this. Both sides have admitted this. And apparently now, I don't trust anything that comes from Meltzer or Alvarez or Johnson or none of these motherfuckers, right? If it don't come from Sadden, or if it don't come from Sean Russap, I don't really believe it. But I will take things to account. I'll take them for what they are. But now it comes out that he actually had a sit down business meeting with Tony Khan, and Tony Khan backed up the Brinks truck, and he said, "No, thank you, I'm good," and he turned it down. That says to me, I trust the devil I know over the devil I don't. So, I mean, am I wrong in that?
Big facts. Big facts.
You know, so you and I, and Carl when he's here, we've gotten a little bit of flack, because we're not AEW haters. We watch all the shows. We're going to talk Full Gear in a minute. We watch all the shows. We support most of the shows. All of this. But we have been very critical, I would say, of AEW's business dealings, because everything from a wrestling standpoint they're killing, it's the business standpoint that they're having issues with, by saying a bunch of things that they're not living up to, by continuously shooting shots at WWE when it's unnecessary. You know, there's been a whole bunch of things from the business side that we haven't really rocked with. And a lot of people haven't, if you're honest, if you go look. Maybe that affected Punk. Maybe he said, I don't like the way y'all doing things, and y'all are new, so I wish you well, but I don't trust y'all yet. Could that be possible?
I think that that's very possible. I think it's very likely. Punk's always been a smart businessman. Like,
oh, yeah.
Punk he knows how to... Like, he... Back before it was a thing that people did, he was smart enough to take his naming rights with him.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Like, he was smart enough to come into WWE and say, no, this is my character. This is the name. This is what we're going to go with. Oh, by the way, I own the rights to this name already. No, I'm not going to change it. You're either going to market this or you'll market nothing. And for a long time, they marketed nothing. But, like, eventually, you know... found his way on the side of the truck.
So, can we talk? There's one more vantage point I want to talk about. So, what is that? Vantage point number 4?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. And then, I mean, and please, I don't, this isn't a monologue. If you have anything to say, jump in. But lastly, I want to talk about the fans and the vantage point of the fans. CM Punk left in 2014, the night at the Royal Rumble 2014. And since then, today we're recording this, we record on Thursdays. It is November 14th, 2019. That is almost 6 years since he's been gone. And the moment he left, what's the one thing you hear at every show?
The chant of his motherfucking name. These ignorant ass people chant this man's name after he left you. He told you he wanted nothing to do with you. He insulted you. And yet these ignorant ass motherfuckers is still out here standing so hard for this man.
Now, all these chants and everything you just said, which are big, big facts. And he come back. And y'all upset?
Because, Rance, I didn't want him to come back to the Titan show. I wanted him in the root beer zone.
Boy. Like, LeBron James is my favorite basketball player, Kyle. You know this. My favorite team get Carolina out of you, bro. I get it. I'm also a Phoenix Suns fan. Who are the Phoenix Suns' diehard rivals? The Los Angeles Lakers. I hated him going to the Lakers, but you know what I do? I root for the wrestler, for the basketball player, and don't give a fuck about the team. If you hate WWE that much, but you love CM Punk, just be the fucking happy he back. And maybe you should be less worried about him going to WWE and more worried about, well, what's wrong with AEW that he told them no. Maybe that's where your thought process should be.
He probably see the same things we see with all them empty ass arenas and the duplicitous statements.
Hey.
And the broken promises.
Hey. You can't do that on this show. We can't speak facts like that.
I'm sorry, I forgot. They're the greatest thing ever and they never make any mistakes and their show is perfect. I forgot. I'm sorry.
All hail Cody.
All hail.
Yeah, that's we ain't talked about that enough, but yes, those arenas do be not the fullest. So, but
and know. I mean WWE arenas aren't the fullest either. We're not trying to say that, but like WWE's not out here trying to say they start in revolutions.
Not only that, but every time WWE's arena is low or anything, somebody take a picture and they drag them online. But you see the pictures online at AEW, and what do people say? Oh, well, they're just starting. Oh, well, what time was the picture taken? Bro, like,
well, what match was this? When was this in the show? What difference does it make if the entire hard cam side is tarped off? The entire hard cam side is tarped off.
Dog, the whole side was tarped. Bro, yes. Like, at least let it look like people coming.
I mean, you know, like, and again, to be fair, have I been to WWE events where almost the entire hard camera side was tarped? You're damn right. I have been to events where almost the hard entire side was tarped. You're right. I have. But when I've been to those events, I've also seen all of the shit on Twitter about why the fuck you go to this arena if you can't even fill it? Man, WWE trash. Don't nobody even want to go.
I hate to be a conspiracy theorist because I'm about to be a conspiracy theorist. For the record, I don't believe this conspiracy. So let me say that before I say this. I do not believe this conspiracy. But I don't know if I've ever asked you this personally or on the air. But you know, there was a conspiracy theory floating around that at the beginning of the Dynamite shows, the tapings and whatever, they were selling out like hotcakes, right? But as soon as they sold out, when they came close to the show, there were dozens, if not hundreds, no exaggeration, of tickets on StubHub or resale sites for like $5.
How very WCW.
So the conspiracy theory was that Tony Khan was buying all the tickets and reselling them for cheap to paper the house. I don't believe that. But do you think that that's a possibility? Again, I don't believe it.
That sounds like some bathtub level nonsense.
I guess the prevailing thought was, why would so many of these resale tickets? And we're talking for a hot show, right? Why would so many of these tickets be on sale for $5 or $4 or $2.50?
Oh, I mean, it's a plausible explanation. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying it sounds like something that came from bathtub. So, you know, let that marinate however you need it to.
I don't know what you mean. It didn't, but I just, it's hilarious to me. but anyway, so.
With the tinfoil hats, y'all, like, I'm just saying, like, some crazy kid sitting in his bathtub with a tinfoil hat coming up with theories.
Again, for the fifth, sixth time, I don't believe it.
I know.
But it's worth a conversation.
I mean,
if we hold on. If we had to sit here and have a whole conversation about Mohammed bin Salam sitting there holding the WWE with them guns and having a fight with Vince McMahon,
yes.
Then at least we can, at least if that was a plausible conversation, then this one isn't.
Oh, I didn't say it wasn't plausible. I never said this was not a plausible conversation. I never said that. I said that it's far-fetched.
100%.
But I said it wasn't plausible. I mean, anything is plausible.
So, man, give me your raw thoughts on Punk. What do you think about the whole situation?
I mean, you know what? Shout out to anybody who's making more money than me and doing, you know, less
than what you do.
Yeah. So, like, props to homie for stacking that cheddar. I will never begrudge anybody, especially because this is a Fox show. So, like, I will never begrudge anyone for taking Rupert Murdoch's money, because fuck the Murdoch family.
And he got enough of it.
Much of his money as you want. In fact, I hope you have bonuses for appearances. If I do more than 10 shows, I get a bonus. Yeah. Just to try to keep him from walking out again.
Do you think this is inevitably leading to him re-signing with the WWE and or wrestling again?
I'm going to say maybe to both. And the reason I'm going to say maybe to both is because, unlike the others who have walked out in the past, their beef has been with Vince. Punk's beef is with Hunter.
Most of it is, yes.
Punk don't like Hunter, and he doesn't respect Stephanie. And, like, those two things make it really, or at least he hadn't in any way, shape, or form on record for the last, you know, decade now. So, like, unless those two things have, like, really drastically changed, and this signing could mean that they have, but unless those two things have, like, really drastically changed, I have a hard time believing that he's gonna sign officially with Titan Town anytime soon.
Well, played not devil's advocate, because that would be too punkish. But if you will, kind of be hypothetical with me for a second. If Punk were to sign and have one more match, WrestleMania, Tampa Bay, 2020, WrestleMania 36, who do you want to see him face? And if it's different, who should he face?
I don't know about who should he face. I think who would he face is that would give Hunter a reason to get on the fucking card again. Because, you know, Hunter loves a reason to get on a Mania card.
So, he don't need much. He don't need much. He will find somebody.
Yep. So, like, I think that tells you who he will face. I'm not saying that's who he should face. That's who he will face. Who do I want him to face? I want him to face Kevin Owens because I love KO.
Okay, the promos would be fire.
The match itself would be fire. KO's generation star.
We don't know if Punk still got that Punk in him. And I love me some Kevin Owens, but Kevin Owens isn't the carrier, in my opinion.
No, but like,
Sami Zayn is a carrier. Owens was never a carrier. Owens is in that, this is hilarious because they have the same initials, but Owens is in that Kenny Omega of that, I'm going 100 miles an hour, keep up with me.
I just thought of somebody else I'd like to see him face.
Who?
Adam Cole, #BayBay.
They got history.
Yeah.
Well, they don't have history together, but their history just, it works, if you will. who I think he will face if he wrestles, which is a 90% chance no. I think right now. I think him versus Brock in the main event makes too much sense for everybody. Brock was the one guy he couldn't get over. It's easy because Brock is Heyman's guy. Heyman is one of his best friends. Brock's going to get you in the main event. Boom. You got all the things you wanted in one match. Who I want to see him wrestle, and I think I told you this a few weeks ago before this was even announced, I would love to see Seth Rollins turn heel. And Seth Rollins be the manifestation and almost the voice of Hunter and Vince and the company against CM Punk. Well, yeah, but there, and if you saw that promo on Raw last week, not this Raw, but last Raw, Hunter and Triple H and Seth are almost they're almost intertwined. Seth and Roman are, and Ambrose for that record, Moxley, they're all intertwined. You can't look at Seth Rollins and not think of Roman or Ambrose. You can't think of Rollins and not think of Triple H. They are intertwined.
I'm just not as into Seth. You know that.
I know. I'm
excited.
Well, I mean, I didn't think you'd be excited for a Punk match anyway, but that's fair.
I mean, I'm not excited in the sense that I'm like creaming my jeans or anything, but I'm like looking forward to it because I think it'd be a good match. Because I think even at 50%, he'd be entertaining. Because he can tell a story.
Yeah. And if it's WrestleMania, they're going to throw those bells and whistles and smoke and mirrors and whatnot.
Yeah. So, like, I think that the match would be good and I could get behind it, whatever it is.
Okay. Well, if I may segue, you know who's not going to be wrestling at a WrestleMania anytime soon? I can't call him by a slave name. One ACH.
Oh, good journalism.
I'm trying.
That dude just like put on a master class over the course of the last 3 weeks on how to not be a professional and how to potentially burn lots of bridges for yourself.
So let me stick up for him before I go against him first.
Sometimes. Everything that he was talking about was absolutely correct, and he has every right to feel that way. That's all I will say before you say your thing.
And yes, 100%. That's without saying. Sometimes when it's a race relation, especially as a black man, sometimes you have to be unprofessional to be heard and get your point made. I'm with that. I understand that. Sometimes you got to rock the boat when it's something that is deeply, deeply offensive to you and you're trying to make change. Cool. I get that. Now, with that being said, also with you saying that everything he's saying is right, he deserves to say it, and boom, boom, boom. Cool. The issues, especially if you guys don't know what we're talking about, I'm not going to play the audio. It's on Twitter. Well, he doesn't have Twitter anymore. So just go search for it. You can find it on Twitter. He did an expletive-laced rant, basically saying he quits WWE, fuck WWE because they're racist. Boom. The issue I have with it is, number one, you under contract, big homie. That's just stupid. Even if you're right. Number two, like, you're making yourself look bad in the eyes of future potential employers. Number three, and most important, this is the issue I had with this that I think maybe he realized, which is why not only did he delete one of the videos, because he put two up, one really, really mad, another explaining better, but he deleted his Twitter. When you go out of your way as a black man or as a man of color, a person of color, to call not only a person but an entity racist, entire entity racist, and Lord knows WWE has not had the best racial history.
No, Kofi was the first black champion.
Yes. No, knowing that, but when you do that, you either have to have massive receipts, clout, massive receipts or massive clout, right? But if you look at his qualm with the WWE, he was not wronged by a person. He was not called a slur. He was not asked to do anything out of line. And if he would have been, I guarantee you would have said so. His gripe is that they made a racist shirt. Now, nobody's ever sticking up for them. I will never stick up for the WWE, for Vince McMahon, for Triple H, or anybody in that company for making that shirt. But you, if we got to be real about this shit, we can't just always want to be outraged. You have to be real about this shit. That shirt could have honestly been somebody stupid and ignorant. One person, and it just slipped by.
Especially because your modern white millennial doesn't know what Sambo is. People of color damn sure know what a Sambo shit is. But your modern white millennial, unless they were raised in the heart of Dixie, is not as familiar with the tales of Sambo.
And if to give you proof of what I'm speaking of, how many times do you see these guys say they didn't even know they had a shirt and it's on sale?
Mm-hmm.
So if they don't even know they had a shirt coming out, don't you think it could have slipped by other people? So again, I'm not saying he shouldn't be upset about the shirt. Man, scorch the earth about that thing. But your gripe is just that they made it. Like, that is a conversational gripe. You were not, in my opinion, and I don't mean, I'm nobody. And I admittedly am nobody. But that's just not enough to me to fucking burn the world down.
Yeah. And to burn so many bridges professionally. Like, that's the bigger issue for him. Like, when you got to go so far as to delete your Twitter, that tells me that, yeah, you're doing it for the culture. I believe that. But, like, doing it for the culture and putting food on the table are not always synonymous things.
Like, I'm a black man in Texas. You're a Hispanic gay man in Carolina. We've walked, and for the record, ACH is from Austin. We've walked this walk, and we've been blessed to live the lives we have because we're in an age where things are drastically different than what we were.
Than they could have been.
100%. But we've all dealt with a lot of these issues, and my man, I'm not ever going to put another person's issue or his walk or his experiences beneath another person's. They're all equal to everybody, to ours. All I'm saying is there's a lot more out here to rally about than you had a bad shirt.
Yeah, and like, is this really the hill? Like, this is the hill?
You know, because he said, this is what they think of us. No, that might be what one person thinks of you. And let me tell you what this reminds me of. I remember a few years ago when Alberto Del Rio was still hired by the WWE.
Oh, Alberto, you domestic violence crazy person. And really, honestly, piece of human refuse. But we digress.
I sanction all of that. I agree. He was in catering, and the social media guy at the time basically said some racist stuff to him, basically calling him a dirty Mexican or something like that. I'm not going to repeat everything he said, nor do I remember everything he said, but it was enough to piss off Alberto. And Alberto put hands on the dude. He slapped the dude up. Now, Alberto got fired. And the dude did nothing happen to the dude immediately. And people were outraged, fucking outraged. Let me tell you why, from a business standpoint, that happened. You cannot put your hands on another person at work. And Alberto Del Rio is a trained mixed martial artist. So Alberto Del Rio is a person who, by law, can't hurt somebody.
And by law, can't put his hands on another person like that.
Right. So because of what Alberto did, he took away everything about him that was right. Because he put hands on the dude. Now, finish the story. That same dude got fired 2 months later. WWE had to handle their business professionally to get him out of there. And they got him out of there. I guarantee you, the dude who did this, and as we've talked spoke about before, ACH doxed homeboy, so his name and his address and all this stuff's out there. He gonna get fired. But they have to let the business handle it. And business don't work overnight. You know what I'm saying? But now all that's gone because you scorched the earth over a shirt.
And you scorched it hard, dude. Like, it's going to take a lot to replant any of them seeds.
Does he want to is the question.
I mean, I don't know. That's a good question. That's a good question. He could be one of those jaded lifers.
And I'm not even gonna,
if you can, my thing is, if you can find another company that's willing to like take the chance on you based on prior record with you, like, hey, you know, prior to this, we know him, whatever, and they'll give you the shot, then, like, dude, go out there, make your living. You're very talented at what you do, but, like, damn, man, you really potentially hurt your net worth.
And, look, very clearly, my man don't think it was a misunderstanding, and that's fine. And for all we know, it might not have been. I'm not trying to, God, I'm please don't take me as sticking up for WWE because they were fucking foul in the situation. The WWE was wrong and foul in the situation. So don't misunderstand me, please. But, like, maybe, I don't know, very clearly he didn't think that there was a misunderstanding. He thought that this was directly done to him.
Well, he felt dismissed.
Okay.
I think it, because a lot of what, even in that rant, a lot of what I kept hearing was like, ain't nobody call me until this point. Ain't nobody reach out to me, whatever. Like, he had been putting up on Twitter, I'm going to give him until such and such a time to get with me. And then it's going down. So I think it's more, I guess impatience has got to be the word for it, even though it's not necessarily the word that I want to use, but like he feels like he had approached them about some shit, which was gross and disgusting, and he wanted restitution.
Yeah.
For the gross and disgusting wrong that was done to him. And he felt like it was not taken seriously. And it was not handled on his timeline, which gets back at what you were talking about with your example, where it's like, give it time and that dude will probably still be out of a job because they got to let the wheels go in motion first. But, you know, ACH didn't want to give them time to let those wheels turn. And he felt like they weren't turning them fast enough, and that meant that they didn't give a fuck, and that meant that they thought it was a fucking joke, and, you know.
Let me tell you something, bro. When you think you big shit and you find out you are just a spoke on the wheel, that's humbling, bro.
Yeah.
That's humbling. And unlike this, this is one of the major things that pushes people to AEW. AEW are, they are under the guise of, and I say the guise because I don't work there, this is just, it's Connie talk to me, but maybe it's true, that you are not just a spoke on the wheel, you are a part of this. WWE, it's very clear, you spoke on the wheel. Randy Orton got left in Saudi Arabia. Yeah, you're part of the machine. Randy Orton got left in Saudi Arabia. Randy
Orton. He's a 13-time champion, y'all.
Randy Orton.
His MAGA ass is going to the Hall of Fame, and he got left in Saudi Arabia.
Third generation. On the Mount Rushmore of the generation, and he got left. So, like, you spoke on the wheel, dog. Everybody, The Undertaker didn't get called for WrestleMania, but we're not going to let you go to StarCast, though. You are a spoke on the wheel. Stone Cold Steve Austin walked out. Bret Hart walked out. Well, he didn't walk out, but he left. Ultimate Warrior told don't come back. Hulk Hogan walked out twice. CM Punk walked out. Nope. Next man up. You are a spoke on the wheel. And
this
so
company
that's humbling,
was getting
man.
Ready to push. This company was getting ready to push Daniel Bryan to the fucking moon the first time with the Nexus, and they fired his ass on his first fucking day because they said he went too far and people got pissed.
They got that Mattel call. And they're like, well, hey, man, thanks for coming. Appreciate what you've done. So it's humbling. And what you say might be a huge part of it is that he expected for them to take him and his issue as important. And not that I don't think it is important, but it's Tuesday to them. It wasn't D-Day. It was Tuesday.
Well, and like, to even get more deep into what you were saying with like being a spoke in the wheel, he's not even a bright, shiny spoke yet because he was a new signing. So he wasn't somebody that they'd been pushing really yet. So it's like, you don't have the clout, dog, to like expect them to kowtow to you that quickly. You have every right to expect to be heard. You have every right to air the grievance and expect them to rectify it. You have every right to have an expectation for how it should be rectified. But unfortunately, you don't get to tell them at what point they have to do that. Unfortunately, you don't have the name cachet to be priority yet.
And even if you are priority, that just means you get a call a day quicker. Now, if there was a, just for the purposes of ACH, there was a wrestling organization that was black owned for, I won't say for black people, but run by black people and so on and so forth, right? For us, by us, essentially. If they had the business handled, and I mean, boy, people hate when you say business because that means that you can't do shit the way you want. Because there's a certain way you have to do things for business reasons, for legal reasons, so that when you guys get in court, you write and you don't lose hundreds of millions of dollars, right?
Mm-hmm.
If that company, the For Us By Us company, had the same situation happen, and of course they would have situations happen, but if there was any situation, if they were a good business, they would do the same thing. They would handle it in a timely manner, but they would handle it going through the correspondence in which they do. Now, I'm sorry my man ACH didn't get a call as quick as he wanted to. They got 100 people in the PC. And I'm not saying it's right. I'm not. 100 people in the PC compared to what, 30 in AEW or 35 in Ring of Honor or 25 in Impact or however many we got? I ain't saying it's right, bro. I'm not. But that's just what it is. But any other company might not have taken as long but would have gone through the same channels if they were on their shit.
Big you facts. Know? Big facts, no fictions.
So, because I guarantee you, if ACH would have sued them, the company would have had that shit in order. Now, if ACH still does sue them, they, as a company, they have to protect themselves, even if he's right. Because ultimately, one person can and has killed companies through lawsuits. We've seen it happen.
I mean, yeah, that has been a thing. I don't know if that's the direction he thought this was going to go down, but it has been a thing. Let's transition into AEW, though, because, you know, they had a pay-per-view, and it was entertaining. For me, it was entertaining up until the main event. I was not into the Lights Out match at all because I am not here for death matches in any way, shape, or form. I find the genre, like, incredibly unsettling in my older age, and I just can't do it. Can't do it.
You watched the whole show?
I watched the whole show.
Break it down for me. I didn't see it. So tell me what you thought.
I mean, like, I'm not going to do, like, a match-by-match breakdown because that's not we do here on the show. So, like, I will say for me, the match of the night for me was Hangman and Pac because I think they have great chemistry together and I love them both. So, like, I was totally here for that. The championship match with Cody and Jericho was not as awful as I expected it to be, but it wasn't very good. But the reveal of MJF finally turning on Cody was masterfully done. Very masterfully done. And then they had, you know, the everybody coming out to check on him, and I'm just like, all right, I like where this is going. Cody versus MJF I could get behind, just because I love MJF, and it'll put him on my screen more. But, like, no, the matches were going along pretty smooth. Everything was looking good. The women's match was, you know, a thing that happened because they don't actually, you know, push that division properly. But they had another great Kong spot. Like, so, good show overall. But, like, that main event. So, Cody and Jericho finish, and they had a long post, like, segment with the MJF reveal and, like, a lot of lingering. Then they did a video package to explain what was going to happen with Moxley and Omega. And the lights went out, and they come back up, and then they come out to the ring for the match, and they explain the non-sanctioned shit and blah, blah, blah. But I just can't do Crash Test Wrestling. And especially all I could think when I was watching it is like, John, you've had surgery on that same elbow a couple times now, and you've had MRSA on that elbow a time or two.
Twice.
And one of those times it almost fucking killed you.
Yes.
And you're out here doing PVC pipe spots, and you're out here doing barbed wire spots, and you're out here doing glass table spots.
Mousetraps.
And mousetraps. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? What the fuck is wrong with you? Your wife is putting WTF reactions on Twitter.
Real shit. This is real. This is true.
Like, she don't think this is cute, dude. She cares about you. And, like, I'm not even her. And I'm looking at this, and I'm just like, no, stop. That's gross. Think about your health. Think about your career. Think about your longevity. Like, this is not okay. But that's, you know, what the fuck do I know, I guess?
Well, you know, everything is better in the root beer zone. All things, all elite, or all petite, as Rob Van Dam would call them, knows they're the best. So, yeah, any criticism is just for nothing.
I still don't understand. I watched the entire show, and I still don't understand why Joey Janela versus Sean Spears was the thing that was on the card. I still
Can I tell you the truth?
Yes.
AEW fans don't understand why. They were complaining about that match. So, I think when AEW fans say something's bad, then it must be bad. So, Super Mega Heel Sean Spears just ain't getting the job done. And I love Joey, but they've ruined Joey for me. They've ruined him.
Because they've neutered everything about what made him fun and interesting.
Well, that and they won't let him win.
That too. I'm glad that's part of why for me I was so into Hangman and Pac, is because they're finally letting Hangman win some fucking matches.
And beating Pac is no small feat, because Pac has only been pinned like once in a year.
Yeah, so like that was a big deal, and I'm just like, finally you're letting this motherfucker win, because if you don't start letting him win, you're gonna kill what little good you did by pushing him to that title match.
Well, I do wanna talk a little bit about those two last matches, but this seems the perfect time to bring up something that is relevant about Full Gear and AEW in general. But Nick Jackson was asked on Twitter, how are you guys going to make sense of the win-loss records when, you know, it gets down the line, it's going to get a little bogged down. And he said they'll reset. So apparently the win-loss records will reset in January. And if I'm assuming, this is an assumption, I don't know, maybe it'll reset every January.
I mean, on the one hand, since they're the legitimate sport version of wrestling, that makes sense in the sense that all sports have seasons and they reset. So, like, I get it on the one hand. On the other hand, why the fuck just randomly reset them at the year? Why not set your wrestling year to begin and end with whatever your big show is going to be? If it's going to be All Out or Double or Nothing, or it's going to be whatever the fuck. Maybe it turns out Full Gear is going to be their big shit.
I don't know.
I know it's not.
Ain't no way.
I know. Ain't no way. I'm just joking. I know. I'm just joking.
This is backlash level, dog. It ain't no way.
No, no. I honestly think All Out's going to be their annual. Yeah. I think the name All Out is perfect for your annual big balls to the wall show. So, like, you know, why not have the win-loss records reset every year at the end of All Out? Like, we have the road to All Out, kind of like the road to WrestleMania, blah, blah, blah. You have All Out. It's your big show. All your feuds blow off, yada, yada, yada. And then the next Wednesday, everybody's win-loss record resets because it's a new season and, you know, surprise sleepers might emerge. Then what you could do, if you're smart, is every year when the win-loss record resets, you could have that be your opportunity to start bringing in or pushing new people or, like, repackaging people who had maybe, like, had a really shitty year and had a lot of losses and blah, blah, blah. And so Joey Janela's like, you know what? I tried to figure out what was wrong with me, and I just realized I can't do it alone, and Penelope comes back. I'm saying? Just like thinking out, I know that's not going to happen, but you know what I'm saying? Just like thinking out of the box, repackaging people, that kind of shit on your reset show.
If I can be salacious for a second, you know Penelope left Joy for Kipsabian in real life, right?
Man.
And they're about to feud based on that. That's amazing to me. You know the only thing that would make the wins and loss records resetting make it work for me, personally? I don't care when. The only thing that would make it work for me is if you strip the champions too. Because if you're going to do it like sports, and you're going to say it's new season, the Patriots got to win the championship again the next year.
I think the problem you run into with that, mm-hmm. I think the problem you run into with that is the need in wrestling to have a champion pretty much constantly. Even if they strip the champions, what you inevitably do then is you have some kind of crazy tournament to crown the new champion, and those crazy tournaments only ever last like 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and then you have another champion again who's your long-term champion.
Which is fine with me. So then in that situation, what I would do is I'd have a tournament for my number one contender. That number one contender would face the old champion for the belt.
Why not have that happen? Hold up. Why not have that happen at your big show as your main event? And then you can still reset everybody's record. And the like title matches at the big show every year are for the right to go into the new year as champion.
That sounds great. None of this shit makes sense to me because I don't think wins or losses matter. We're trying to make this work for us. So, yes, that would be glorious. I would love that. But that's not what's happening.
I mean, man, I know. We're trying to make too much sense. I know.
By the way, you heard it here first. On the Outsider's Edge, I am stealing from the sage of the squared circle. Once January come and these win-loss records reset, Kenny Omega getting the super push. Kenny Omega pushed not to the moon. Homeboy is going to be in Jupiter. He is getting the push of all pushes because he ain't EVP for nothing. He has lost every big match all year. And oh my God. And I bet you long-term booking, we're going to see him. Mox is going to be Jericho eventually. And we'll see. I bet you Mox will beat Jericho at Double or Nothing. And at All Out, we're going to run it back. Omega versus Moxley for the belt. And Omega's got on that super push. You heard it here first. I know what's up. I'm the new Sage of Squared Circle. That's our show.
Okay. On the first episode of Sage Takes the Stage, I tell everyone why Ray Cash was incredibly incorrect and why the real hot prediction in these streets for AEW is that the Bucks will turn heel and run roughshod over the tag division on a reign of terror.
So hold on. Sage of the stage, right?
Sage takes the stage.
So you're telling me I got fired from another podcast on there? Come on, man.
Not only did you get fired from another podcast on air, I hijacked your own show from you and renamed it Out From Under Your Nose.
Well, that's
the very same episode that we talked about cultural appropriation and Jordan Miles.
That's the next escalation of my story, I think, though. It's taking my own show from me.
That's the live with the gimmick.
Hey, brother. Hey, kayfabe. Those of you who catch that, you will get a good laugh at that. MJF, was the turn too soon?
Yes. Which, you know, is, some people are probably going to say, but dude, you were just talking last week about how you can't wait for MJF to turn on Cody and how great that's going to be. So, like, what do you mean it's too soon? Well, yeah, you're right. I was very excited for MJF to turn on Cody, and I'm still excited that he did turn on Cody. But it would have meant so much more if it would have happened later. Also, can we just talk about, all right, so, like, what the fuck's Cody going to do now since he'll never challenge for the AEW world title again, apparently?
Well, I want to get to that in a second. I want to talk about the MJF thing, and I'll answer your question afterwards. But I was listening to Busted Open this morning, and somebody called in and said that this reminds them of the Seth Rollins turn, and that sometimes when things happen when you least expect them, it's the best thing. Which is why the Seth Rollins turn was so good, because nobody expected it. It came off their biggest triumph. That's right. The difference here is that nobody expected Seth to turn. Nobody expected them to show to break up at that moment, let alone it being Seth. In this case, the entire world knows that MJF was going to turn on Cody. We just didn't expect it to happen. Now, the problem, I think, in my mind, and you might agree with me, is that they hadn't been together long enough for us to really feel the turn.
For us to care. Because MJF was a mega cocky heel before he became Cody's little bestie.
Even while he was with Cody's bestie, he was still being a dick.
And so it's like, all right, why should we give a fuck that MJF turned on Cody? Especially because until this whole Jericho thing, and until they started feeling themselves entirely too much, Cody was also a dastardly bastard heel.
That's true. That's something that people seem to have pleasantly forgot, but he became
martyr. Pleasantly forgotten it. I think what it is people say, oh, well, no, Cody was turned because, like, Cody turned because, like, the fan reaction dictated that he should. Blah, blah. No, Cody turned because Cody is feeling himself.
Yes, that's true, but I got to stick up for Cody in this one regard. If we're going full character on counting his entire, everything he does, Cody essentially turned back face after the firing squad kicked them all out of the Bullet Club.
I mean, only if the firing squad were the heels in that scenario. Because,
you're right.
You know, first of all, the Tongans are never wrong.
And all difference.
Second of all, they are clearly the good guys in that scenario. All of the toxic drama out of their group.
I mean, look at them. They're doing the best they've ever done, if you ask me. LP and Bone Soldier Taji are junior heavyweight tag champs. Jay White, the Switchblade, the last rock and roller, is Intercontinental champ and going up for the double champs at Wrestle Kingdom. G.O.D. are the only heavyweight tag team, really, and still the champs. You might be right.
Yeah, so, like, you know, sometimes you just got to get all that toxicity out before you can really handle it.
The toxicity of our city.
All right, System of a Down.
Shout out to System of a Down. But to answer the Cody question, so I don't know what the next pay-per-view is going to be or be called, but Cody mentioned something in that epic promo he did a couple weeks ago or last week, a match beyond. That is their version, and he's trademarked that, so he owns that. That's their version of War Games. And so it's clearly going to be the Elite versus the Inner Circle, and they're going to kind of finish that story there. Because if you watch Dynamite, boy, did Santana and Ortiz get into it with the Bucks. That brawl lasted like 2 seconds. And it was good. It was a good, fun brawl.
Yeah, I forget what they're calling Santana. Pride and something?
Proud and Powerful. I think it's stupid, but it has the PR for Puerto Rico. So, you know, works for me. They like it. I love it. But they're Proud and Powerful. But so when they do that, which will be essentially War Games the way Dusty did it, because you can't have a pin or submission in War Games, whatever. That'll be the end of that story, and that'll get him through. That and the will he, won't he, with MJF and Wardlow joining the Inner Circle, will kind of carry Cody for at least until that. And then Double or Nothing, I'm sure, will be the big match between MJF. So we've booked from November until May, because Memorial Day weekend.
My thing though is, all right, so that'll help us in the short term, but like long term, they are gonna have to find a way to back out of this stipulation with him, just because I'm not saying he ever has to win a world title, but for him to be one of these bigger stars that you're marketing your company around, and him already having like this whole "we'll never challenge for a world title again" thing looming around him.
My brother, the answer is right in front of your face, but because he has veiled himself so well, you're missing it. Cody is a dastardly heel. Cody owns the company. All you gotta do is turn heel. When he turns heel, just say, fuck it, I changed the rules. Who gonna tell him no?
That's true. This is my company. I want the match.
Done.
All right. Okay, whatever. I don't even care about Cody. I'm here for Voodoo Queen Brandi Rhodes, but like, I don't give a fuck about Cody.
So I know Brandi's your girl, and you know I don't like Brandi very much. And I appreciate the fact that they want to do something with some story involved. I do. But when the fuck did Brandi become a Voodoo Queen? Why did she get involved with the Voodoo? Did Roxy Laveau come back and blow the dust in her face? And why does she have the power over Kong? Is the hair of the white girls like the urn to the Undertaker? I'm so confused. I don't know what's going on. And why is Kong, terrifying ass, awesome Kong, walking around with a knife everywhere? Like, I'm terrified. I don't understand.
That's not my biggest question with Kong right now. My biggest question with Kong is, like, Netflix is in 140 billion homes.
So, like, what you doing, Ma? What are you doing?
So, like, why are we still clinging to this can't talk bullshit? Like, Kofi ditched the Jamaican accent.
This isn't Japan, baby. This is a TNA. You can talk. We know you can. We know, like, you can act.
Like, boo, we know you got the chops. Like, don't get me wrong. I love Kong the Silent Monster. Don't get me wrong. I love it. I am here for it. Like, for people that don't know, Gail Kim versus Awesome Kong in TNA back in the day is one of my top women's matches of all time.
Gail and Kong, Taryn Terrell and Kong, like, she was amazing.
Homegirl was a fucking beast at the height when WWE was at the height of the Divas era of women's wrestling and weren't doing jack shit. Kong was out there showing people, like, this is what we do.
You can argue, and you'd have that it'd be factual, that TNA started the women's evolution.
Facts. With her and Angelina Love and Gail Kim and Velvet Sky and Madison Rain
and what's my girl name? what's the Japanese girl that, that got arrested for killing somebody?
Oh shit.
Hamada? Harada?
Hamada.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, so like
Sarah Stock or whatever she was calling herself back then, and Zelina. Mm-hmm. Like they had a roster, dog.
Well, and so like, you know, I'm here for Silent Kong, don't get me wrong, but at the same time I'm just like, honey baby darling, Netflix is in half the homes in America, and I know for a fact that every wrestling fan that would be watching fucking AEW has seen Glow. So like, why you still pretending you know can talk good? Is it part of the voodoo? Is that going to be the big reveal in the end of the storyline? Like, Kong's gonna lose them extensions, and she's just gonna be like,
"Shut up, bro,
bitch! I know you didn't."
Speaking of the voodoo, here's my question.
You know you'd love it if that's the reveal, though.
That would be fucking hilarious.
Shut up all you want, but you know you'd love it if all of a sudden them white girl extensions come out, and Kong is just like, "What the fuck did this bitch do? I'm gonna drag a hoe."
Whenever black hair is involved in the storyline, it's gold to me. It's gold.
Well, it's gold to me because I'm an American high school teacher in the South. So, like, I understand that black girl hair is and has always been the source of many a fight. And is also a telltale sign of when a fight is about to break out. Because if a bitch is wearing a wig, that shit is coming off. And if you see that wig come off intentionally, you already know it's going down.
Go to the exit. Make your way to the exit.
That's earrings and shoes level crazy.
Here's my question to you. My final question about the situation. So Brandy's a Voodoo Queen, right?
Apparently.
Have you seen Suicide Squad?
Yep.
You know how the Enchantress turned back into Jude, right? Is that what Brandy does when she has to be Chief Brand Officer? Does she just push back to regular Brandy? And do work, and then when it's time to go do voodoo shit with her friends, she whooshes to the voodoo queen. I'm so confused. Is voodoo allowed in the workplace? I'm confused.
I mean, you're confused by that. You know what I'm confused and about, and this is a minor thing that has confused me really from the beginning with their TV presentation and like one of the things that they do. And it might be an old school throwback that I'm just like not remembering. But, like, I do not understand the people coming out to the ramp with you and then just, like, giving you a pat on the back and walking away. It's like, what is the purpose of this other than to, like, show your face? And why do I need to see your face?
It's as Pavlovian a pop as the tones of the music. It's just to get an extra pop. But... Unless you're DDP, who apparently can do things because he's not signed to the roster, doesn't show up, but I'm going to come out one night for a fight, but I'll never show up again, which, Imp, if you're listening, I want the explanation because it's been weeks. I ain't seen no DDP. Where's my DDP Sammy Guevara match? I don't see him. So, but yes, it's just to get that pop.
Okay, because I've been, like, real confused. I'm just like, the fuck is the point here? Why do we care?
Well, I think the problem is for you and me personally, not as a whole, but just us two personally, we don't care about the people that come out to pat them on the back. That's what it is.
That's probably a huge part of it. You know what? You're right. That is probably a huge part of it, is it's just like, I just don't care, man.
So, I guess to put a bow on this whole situation, you kind of gave your thoughts on Mox and Kenny Omega. To kind of put a bow on it with my thoughts, I didn't think it was too violent, although I don't think that death matches need to be put on television unless they're absolutely necessary. And my problem with Mox and Omega was, yes, they had a blood feud, 100%. But I don't think that the violence of this level was necessary yet because they hadn't had a match yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the same way, and shout out to Ricky and Clyde for making the same analogy on his show yesterday, but in the same vein, that people complain about Hell in a Cell matches every year being at Hell in a Cell pay-per-view, and the first match taking place in the Cell when that's supposed to be a feud ender. Death matches are supposed to be feud enders.
Yeah, like, why is this all of a sudden a blood feud? And like, why you hate each other so much immediately? And, like...
And they get feuded for a minute.
Feud. My other thing is, if it's such a blood feud and it's such a big thing, and I thought this when they announced it, if you this mad and you need to, like, be able to just beat the dog shit out of Kenny Omega, then why the fuck does Jon Moxley care that this didn't count towards the win-loss record? Like, that's character inconsistency. If your whole thing is, I need to get my hands on Kenny because fuck Kenny, and you're going to get your chance to get your hands on Kenny and fuck him up, then why the fuck do you care that it's not going to count the win-loss record?
It was funny, though, when he beat Nakazawa this week, and after he beat him in, like, 2 minutes, he got the mic and said, does this one count? That was funny to me. I laughed at that.
That is funny. No, that is funny. But I'm just like, okay, character inconsistency. All right, cool, cool.
You're right. And look, you're absolutely right. There was a bunch of we're nitpicking, of course, and there was a bunch of things that didn't rock with me in it. The mousetraps were too much for me. The glass was fake, so I didn't mind the glass as much, but I don't like glass spots in general. The barbed wire net was cool with me because that's the one that can be fairly safe. And it looks crazy, but it can be fairly safe. I was fine with that. But, you know, it is what it is. Cool. They did what they wanted to do. They made their point. I appreciate that now Mox can hopefully get this deathmatch shit out of his mind. He's had the deathmatch with Mox with Janela. He has one with Omega. Just go be great now.
Can I say you can tell the difference between the two in terms of you can tell that Janela is a deathmatcher and
Omega. And then Moxley is a wrestler? Oh, yeah, and yes.
No, that's what I meant. Like, you can tell Janela is a deathmatcher and Omega is not.
Yes.
Moxley and Janela went, like, to an even more uncomfortable level because, like, Moxley and Janela are both fucking crazy hardcore guys. And so they're just like, yo, you want to do some shit with a staple gun? Fuck yeah, I want to do some shit with a staple gun. You want to, like, break each other's path?
Want to get tacks on your feet? Oh, by the way, again, experienced death matches, right? Janela and Moxley was a tight 15 minutes. Moxley and Omega went 40. That goes to show you the difference.
Mm-hmm. Facts. Exactly.
And one last thing about Moxley and Full Gear and AEW, but just because I'm a Shield mark, it brings so much joy to my heart to know that Moxley still loves his brothers because he still comes out the crowd. Thank you, Moxley, for that. Because that just makes me feel like I know how you feel about WWE, and that is your right, and that's fine. But at least you appreciate where you came from, and you appreciate your brothers. Because I know Roman and Roman and Seth still love the fuck out of you. So I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I take that. Maybe I'm wrong, but I take that as an homage to them.
I mean, it might be. You know, homie, it might be. It might be. Speaking of. You know, no, I ain't got no segue for this one. Big homie Sin Cara.
Ain't no segue for this one.
Let's talk about.
Oh, no, I got you. Can I journalism?
Yeah,
I got you.
Yeah, give me a journalism because I ain't got you.
Well, you know, Moxley was the most touted signing of AEW after he let his contract run out. A person who wants their contract to run out. Is one Sin Cara. That was bad, but it was close. It was best I got.
I mean, that's a good one, I guess. But yeah, let's talk about the big homie Sin Cara.
Break it down.
I mean, he wants to get the fuck up out of there.
It trips me out. Like, I don't begrudge people for wanting to be out their contract because there's a lot of people. WWE doesn't do the spring cleaning anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they don't release people who aren't doing anything anymore. So, there's a lot of people that are there that aren't really being used, at least not on TV, right? A lot of people. So, I understand saying, you know, I've had enough. I want to go out there and do the best I can. I want to go. I can respect that and get that. But when you say that you haven't gotten the opportunities you deserve, Sin Cara, you done fought everybody backstage and you'd have been injured for half of your time you've been there. What are you talking about?
Yeah, like, seriously, the fuck is your problem, bro? The fuck is your problem?
Like, you're more over backstage as, like, a legit fighter than you are in the ring. Like, what are we doing?
Wow, like, I mean, you know, good on ya, I guess, for sticking up for yourself and rah-rah, sis-boom-ba, but, damn, bro, like, you really think they're about to give you what you want?
One more thing, by the way. This is, please, if any wrestlers are listening that signed to WWE, if you choose to ask for your release, if you feel like it's time and it's time for you to leave and you have an issue with that, can you please not put it on Twitter before you're gone?
Like, for your own sake.
Like, that only makes WWE double down. That's all it makes WWE double down because you're putting, that's you putting their feet to the fire thinking that backlash is going to make them say, oh, let's let them go. They don't give a fuck.
Nope.
Look at what they did to Luke Harper. They don't give a fuck.
Nope. They will let your ass sit because they can. Because they got the money. They can do whatever they want.
More importantly than they got the money, Kyle. Oh, Carl. Sorry.
It's all good.
I'll strike that for the record. More importantly, they got your ass under contract. Like, maybe you should really let your lawyer look at these contracts and stop signing things because you see dollar signs. Talking to you, Mike Kanellis.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what? I take that back. Mike Kanellis is the smartest man in the world. Mike Kanellis got out of rehab, said I had two babies under contract. He re-signed for that fuck money. Then he said, I don't really want to wrestle no more. I'm just going to sit at home and get this money. Because they got to pay him. They got to pay him his downside.
Yeah, they do. They have no choice. He did agree to that.
So he might be a genius that we don't know.
Yeah, he might be shit.
Okay, man. Well, there's one more thing we got on our list. Do you want to talk about it or you want to just call it a night?
I mean, I don't want to talk about it because you know how much I hate that damn story.
I do. And I don't hate it, but it's not for me. But it's the biggest thing on Raw right now. So I'm going to let you make the call.
I mean, if you want to talk about it, you like, knock yourself out, bro. I'm.
There's want and then there's need. I don't want to, but I just feel like us being a topical show. For the record, guys, we're talking Rusev, Lana, and Lashley. Neither one of us really care about the story. Kyle really hates it. I just don't think it's for me. But it's funny to me, but it doesn't do anything for me. But I don't think either of us want to talk about it. But it's. Literally the biggest, it's getting millions of views on YouTube. So, like, it would be weird if we came here on TV, if we came on this show today and we talked to AEW, but we didn't talk Cody and MJF. Y'all be like, what the fuck's wrong with y'all? That's the biggest story. Rusev, Lashley, and Lana, it's the biggest story on Raw.
I mean, it is. You're right. I just hate it.
Well, you know what? That's good enough for me. We talked about it. Y'all got the exclusive from the Outsiders. Rusev, Lana, and Lashley is not for us. Boo, 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 boo. There you go.
Yeah. So, well, let's hit them with the plugs then and tell them where they can find us and get them out of here.
Well, you can find me at Rusev, B-U-L. My man Rusev said, someone said you should have tried to get your girl in the tank. He said, tried. Rusev's a legend. Rusev's a legend.
Rusev's a legend because he's willing to put up with someone who's on the wrong side of the Mendoza diagonal.
Please look that up. Did you see that video I sent you?
Mm-hmm.
Is that shit not hilarious?
Oh, it's hilarious.
Yeah, also, is that shit not true?
Oh, it's totally true.
Yes. Rusev's a legend. I don't care what nobody says. I'm at It's Ray Cash, R-E-Y-Z in Mysterio, C-A-S-H as in dollars. Of course, the show is at Outsiders Edge, C-S. We are a part of the Cheshire Radio Network where you
always use your head.
One more thing. Still want to plug the t-shirt. There's a hashtag journalism t-shirt, prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot. It's Christmas time. Somebody needs some journalism in their life. Hey, go get some journalism in your life.
Facts, y'all. You can find me on Twitter at Dr. S'mores. And remember, y'all, like we try to remind you here every week at The Outsider's Edge, we are just some increasingly not so young men out here doing everything we can to try to make it in this world. And sometimes we fuck up and forget our train of thought, or sometimes we have technical difficulties, or sometimes it's been several days since we watched Full Gear and we can't exactly remember the show because it just wasn't that memorable.
Sometimes we don't want to talk about a major storyline on the show because it's disgusting.
Yeah, you know, we're not here for cuckoldry in 2019. But no matter...
At least not on wrestling.
No, at least not on wrestling. But no matter what, y'all, you got to remember that we're just out here chasing our dreams. And, I mean, you got to respect that. Because, like...
Wait, this works so much better because Punk is back!
Because, like, if you don't respect it, you damn sure don't give up.
We give as much of a fuck as Punk gives a fuck about the fans. There you go. Have a good night.
Thanks for listening.